This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and our Friday program continues now with our weekly look at the world of politics. Next week, state legislators will be back in Springfield for the start of the fall veto session, and we'll have a preview of what to expect from that on Monday's program with Jen Fuller of Capital News Illinois. In a few minutes, Rick Pearson of the Tribune will tell us how Chicago's migrant crisis has strained relations in the Democratic Party here and put pressure on leaders like Governor Pritzker and Mayor Brandon Johnson. But first, Linda Kenyon covers Washington politics in our home state congressional delegation for Illinois Public Media. She's with us live today to talk about the latest national political news. Linda, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's good to be here, Brian. Thank you.
So briefly, we were talking at the top of the show about how the Israel-Hamas war has reverberated closer to home here in Illinois. President Biden is going to be asking the Congress for money for Israel, a smaller amount for humanitarian aid in Gaza, and also for Ukraine. For that, though, we will need a functioning House of Representatives, which leads us to the big political news of this week. Jim Jordan, the GOP's nominee for Speaker of the House, has not had the votes. He lost more support than he gained in the second round of votes on Wednesday and had another failed attempt in a third round of votes this morning on Friday as we're going to air. Where does he stand?
Well, that's a really good question. And that's what the GOP caucus is trying to figure out. Right after the third ballot failed for Jim Jordan, where he got 194 votes and needed 217, the House went into recess, and then the GOP caucus went into a closed-door meeting. And reportedly, that is where the GOP caucus will decide whether Jordan should remain the nominee for Speaker of the House. Now, prior to the vote, Jordan said he was going to keep on going. In fact, former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, went through 15 rounds, and he advised Jordan. He said, well, certainly you can hang in there more than two or three rounds. I did 15. I was in there for quite a while. So, Jordan has vowed to continue fighting and to continue to try and influence those who did not support him in his own caucus. But he also said, and this was yesterday, he also said that he was going to continue to have elections on the House floor throughout the weekend, which, if you know anything about Washington, you would know right now is not a really good way to get votes because everybody wanted to go home. And there was real big growling over that one in the room.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, we've seen every Illinois Republican vote for Jordan in the rounds so far, yet it's gotten contentious behind closed doors. There was reporting this week that Representative Mike Bost of Southern Illinois lunged at Matt Gaetz in a closed-door meeting of House Republicans. Of course, Gaetz is the Florida representative who started this whole mess by his vote of no confidence or motion of no confidence in Speaker McCarthy. There has been some movement on this, this idea of an interim speaker pro tem, Representative Patrick McHenry, giving him more power than he has now. Right now, he can basically just hold votes on speaker, right? But giving him some more power so that the House can actually do some other things. Is there any chance of that coming to pass?
That keeps coming up. But I will tell you, after Mike Bost lunged at Matt Gaetz in a closed caucus meeting yesterday, all Gaetz would say was, well, he was pretty animated. And I don't know if I would describe it as a lunge, but other people in the room did describe it as a lunge. And Kevin McCarthy is the one who also yelled at Matt Gaetz. So Bost and McCarthy are sort of in the same school of thought on this, because Gaetz apparently stood up to talk while McCarthy was talking in that caucus meeting. And McCarthy said to Gaetz, sit your you-know-what down. So it's gotten really nasty, and it's probably even nastier still in the meeting that's going on right now behind closed doors. Jordan himself had come up with the idea that they should give the Speaker Pro Tem, Patrick McHenry, more powers in order to allow the House to function until they have some permanent speaker in place. And even though Jordan suggested it, we had Gaetz saying, no way, no how, essentially over my dead body. What he said was, I do not want a speaker light any more than I want a Bud Light. So that gives you an idea.
Yeah. So, okay, this process used to be a formality, right? You knew the parties would vote for their leaders in the House, and the party with more seats would get the speakership. But what we're seeing now is this unprecedented, I think it's fair to say, that unprecedented level of chaos. And it's for the second time this year. I mean, is this the new normal as far as the Republican Party is concerned? Is there a way back from this?
There's been a lot of discussion about there. Is there a way back from many things that have changed over the past few years, or I should say even several years? And one of which is, yes, this used to be just a ceremonial kind of thing, and members of the press corps would just sort of ho-hum their way about the day. But of course, certifying the Electoral College results after a presidential election was also a non-day. It was also just sort of a ceremonial, nod to tradition. But we know what happened on January 6th, and that was anything but normal. So this may be the new normal, but I think it reflects the fact that the polarized country, in terms of politics, is reflected in the people who they send to Washington, where the polarization is even more concentrated for all to see.
Are there people noting what's happening in the Middle East right now? Is there a chance that this foreign crisis could crystallize anyone's perspective here, or maybe serve as a force?
Well, President Biden, in his address to the nation last night from the Oval Office, did say that he was sending an emergency funding request to Congress, $100 billion for security, which would include, the majority of it would go to Ukraine, which is something that he has been trying to get for quite some time. And the rest would go to Israel and also the Indo-Pacific region, most specifically to Taiwan, which is a not so subtle message to China in the region. And there's also money in there for homeland security in terms of border security. Now, we had earlier a message from Congresswoman Mary Miller from the 15th Congressional District, and she said, and I'm going to quote, she said, Joe Biden wants to defend every border except our own. Well, of course, again, this package does include border security money for the U.S., so there's a lot of polarization about that issue. The U.S. has always stood by Israel. The U.S. has been standing by Ukraine consistently. And the president says if the terrorists in Hamas and the tyrant, he says, in Russia are allowed to succeed, then they will just keep on going. And that becomes a threat to U.S. national security. And so, yes, there is a lot of discussion about this emergency aid package. There's a lot of support for Israel, number one, Ukraine, number two. But keeping in mind, none of this can happen. There will be no aid packages or even funding, by the way, of the federal government, which is running on a short clock right now, until the Speaker of the House is installed, because the House cannot do anything legislatively until there is somebody in that chair.
Wow. Well, we are living through interesting times. Linda Kenyon covers the Washington politics and the Illinois Congressional Delegation for Illinois Public Media. Linda, thanks as always. Hopefully you can have a good weekend this weekend, even if you might have to do some working.
That seems to be the case, yes. But thank you. I thank you for that.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're doing our Friday Politics Roundtable, and we are zooming in on Illinois now, where, as we've talked about a little over the past few weeks, the accelerating pace of the migrant crisis, the asylum seekers being bussed into Chicago, has really worn thin the resources of the city and also the patience of a number of people and politicians there. There's been some political scuffling back and forth among some aldermen, as well as Governor Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. We're going to talk about that with Rick Pearson, who is the Chicago Tribune's chief political reporter. He wrote a story about this a few days ago with Dan Petrella. He's with us live to talk more about it. Rick, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Brian.
So historically speaking, Pritzker and the Democratic Party here in Illinois, I mean, they've been they've talked a good game, at least about being welcoming toward refugees and asylum seekers. And then we have Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott sending migrants to Illinois by the busload, by dozens of busloads now per day. What is happening there? What remind us of what he is hoping to accomplish, especially when it comes to the Democratic Party in Illinois?
Well, what you have with Texas Governor Abbott sending busloads of these asylum seekers not only to Chicago, but sending them to red city or to blue cities and blue states, areas that have designated themselves as sanctuary cities or states, is to try to draw attention to what he says he faces every day on his border in Texas. And that if you're so welcoming, here, try to see what I have to go through. And I think what's kind of been interesting in all of this is that, you know, when Governor Pritzker, even as a candidate before he became governor, talked about, you know, wanting to make Illinois a welcoming sanctuary state, Chicago a sanctuary city, and it was very altruistic when the problem's 2,000 miles away. And now that when you're starting to see, as all of us in Chicago do, this influx of over 18,000 migrants, not enough housing for them, basically camped out at outside police stations. There's makeshift tents outside, and it's starting to strain the, I think what I would say is that welcome mat fabric that involves the key constituencies in the Democratic Party.
So we've seen Governor Pritzker asking for help from the federal government for some time now. Has there been any progress on that front?
It's been very minimal. And I mean, one thing I want to take you back to this summer, and I wrote a story about how the Biden administration in gearing up for reelection was almost kind of planting a foot in Chicago, where, of course, the Democratic National Convention is going to be next year. But repeated visits by Biden, cabinet members, Vice President Kamala Harris, all of these visits to Chicago, none of them touched on anything involving what was then just kind of a brewing migrant crisis, when we would get maybe one bus every couple of days. Now we're getting 10 buses a day or more. And now, as I said, over 18,000 migrants, not real progress. I mean, a number of these asylum seekers are from Venezuela, and Biden did move to try to make a streamlined process so that they could gain a temporary status and be able to get work permits. And that's one thing that the kind of Chicago business community has said, is that, you know, these people are able workers, and if they could get jobs, they could more rapidly settle and assimilate into Chicago. But one of those things with getting these job permits, it also requires a $500 payment. And those fees haven't necessarily been waived at all. So there's a lot of complicated factors here. And you have the city spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. You have the state spending that. Brandon Johnson, the mayor, just releasing his proposed city budget, dedicating $150,000 or $150 million for asylum seekers. And that's less than half of what the city really needs to spend. He's looking for the state to do something. With the veto session coming up, Governor Pritzker and frankly, House Speaker Chris Welch made clear there's really no plans for a supplemental spending bill. There isn't going to be any money. And Brandon Johnson now is kind of saying, well, we'll address this in January to see if the state can help us. In the meantime, additional federal funding, while it's always ways to move money around in the federal budget, that's not forthcoming. And any additional aid, of course, as you just talked about with the paralysis in Washington with the House, that's not likely to come anytime soon.
Yeah, federal budget in air quotes, I think we have to say at this point.
Right.
All right. So, Rick, one more story I want to talk about, which is you wrote this week about Governor Pritzker starting a new national dark money PAC. The goal is to, quote, promote abortion and LGBTQ rights issues and fight right-wing extremists on a state-by-state basis. As you pointed out in your story, this is a man who has I mean, he shrugged off talk of being a backup option if President Biden has to take himself out of the running for whatever reason. What exactly is he trying to do here?
Well, I think part of it is a natural extension of his national visibility. And we've seen over the last year, even during his reelection campaign, traveling to other states, ones that are key Democrat areas, delivering speeches. Abortion rights has always been something that is a longstanding belief of his. And he's been a not only just a prominent donor, even before being governor, to Democratic candidates and causes, but also for causes involving abortion rights. I think it's playing a long game. Yeah, we know he's all in on Joe Biden's reelection, has given the president's campaign money. He's hosting his renomination in Chicago in August for the Democratic National Convention. But I think it's more the long game about looking at 4 years from now and seeing, planting the seeds, basically, for a potential shot at the presidency.
You know, he's really become kind of a gravitational object in, right, a celestial object in Illinois political money with his wealth. Can he scale that nationally, or is that maybe even too much for this multi-billionaire to do?
Well, he certainly can scale some of it nationally, but I think really I'm not sure that it's money is the object here for him as much as it is when you start working on these issues in other states like Ohio, for example, which has a election coming up, not only November for offices, but also to put in its ballot a right, put into its constitution a right for abortion. You start putting your people into some of these networks, and these networks last far longer than the issues do. And I really think that's really the primary value here is for him looking for a way to get into these various party organizations in other states as he looks at a potential run for the presidency.
Fascinating. Well, we will continue to watch what happens there. Rick Pearson covers politics for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much for being with us, Rick. I appreciate it.
Thank you as always, Brian.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.